We want to start the fourth period with our good friend, GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Canes, Coach Paul, joining us right now. Thanks for being in studio with us, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
I want to talk hockey with you guys. I want to talk River Kings hockey specifically. But before we do, I don't know if you guys saw this story, but former Vancouver Canuck, Todd Bertuzzi, who's 50 now, is making a comeback. He's making a comeback. Looks like he may even sign with the Canucks, but at least for right now, he is suiting up with the Cambridge Hornets of the Allen Cup Hockey League. I want to say congratulations to Todd for continuing to lace them up and being able to lace them up. This cannot help, and nobody who has hockey in their veins, it cannot help but remind you of the great Gordie Howe, who I guarantee you, whatever you believe in an afterlife, Gordie Howe is playing hockey in it.
What about Reggie Dunlop?
That's a good one. Gordie Howe played until he was 52 years old and 11 days. He played professional hockey up until then. He was still with the and played up in with the Hartford Whalers for a while too, into his late age as well. And then there's also the stories of Gordie Howe in his late 60s, still playing in like minor league teams and stuff. Jaromír Jágr, I think recently broke his record for oldest player ever and everything. And you don't see this in any other sport. You see these guys show up in old-time games, sure, but you don't see like guys literally putting on skates and getting out there and playing hockey at those ages.
As long as none of them sign with like the Squatch or the Havoc, I think we're all right.
I did notice that we didn't sign any 50-plus-year-olds, Coach. I wanted to talk to you about that. Why? No.
Well, we did have some inquiries, that's for sure.
Let's start there right away. As far as because I had a couple of conversations with my dad about this recently. When it comes to signing players, is there a window that you can and cannot sign players, talk to players, or anything like that?
Like
at this
a dead
level?
Period or something?
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, something like
it's you have to until the deadline. You can't talk to anybody until Nationals is over. Okay. So April 1st is usually the starting time of free agency.
No joking.
Right. No.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. That's interesting.
Just making sure April 1st.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So with that, how has it been going this summer? How's it been going scouting, looking at players, all that?
It's good. It's good. I just had a Russian defenseman commit and also a Canadian defenseman who's bigger than Beauchamp.
Oh, boy.
He's 6'6", 230.
Oh, man.
Ooh. And he's just an absolute beast. So we're excited about that. The Russian, who's an 09, which would be the youngest on the scale, is 6'3", 195. So we're gonna have some size, and you know. So
is his nickname Drago?
he looks like it. him and Mikhail Ilyin, right? They look.
That's his nickname now. It's his nickname. But yeah. It's definitely his nickname. Yeah. on that point, and that's great to hear. I mean, it's great. It's certainly size. It stands out, and to even the layman hockey fan out there, I imagine. But I can't. And I was, again, just talking about this with my dad. It feels like it happened overnight with the change in the NHL and in hockey in general. The size of these players, it's just insane. Mm-hmm. It used to be you saw these guys kind of play in other sports and everything, and every once in a while you saw a guy, somebody like that or something. You didn't see that often. And I don't know if it's more surprising that or the size of the goalies and how much that's changed from when we were kids to now. It's nothing to see a 6'6", 6'5", goalie, which just makes it more impressive the way people are still scoring the way that they are.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because that big defenseman I just mentioned, he has a younger brother who's 6'8", goalie.
6'8".
When's he going to be making the trip?
Well, he wanted me to take him. I already have three goalies. Yeah.
Nothing against the goalies that we're going to have, but boy, oh boy.
Well, it's something to keep an eye on, though. He's a young kid. That's good.
It's a good relationship to build, right?
Yeah.
The Junior River Kings, maybe?
yeah.
He's, you know, when you talk about that, the size and all that kind of stuff, I mean, back when I played, it was bigger, right? Mm-hmm. They weren't necessarily fast, but that's the what they were all looking for was the size, mm-hmm. right? And then you start going down into the 90s and early 2000s where guys got smaller, faster,
yeah.
quicker,
yep.
right?
Yep.
More skilled, Theo Fleury and guys like that. And then now all of a sudden, now you got 6'4" guys that can fly.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah.
And all of a sudden, so, and I think it's just technology, the training. You know, there's so much more available, the way you're taking care of your body now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
These guys are machines. It's you look at some of the guys that come into our camp,
mm-hmm.
and you could tell the guys that actually are serious about it, mm-hmm. and guys that have no idea what they're about to embark on.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And some of these kids are well taken care of.
One of the certainly not only I agree, you're talking facts over there with the change of the game and the evolution of the player and all that. One thing I'll piggyback onto that is hockey in general as a sport, every division of it, every league of it, especially the NHL, has done an incredible job of spreading the sport mm-hmm. and making it more available for more people. And right. Again, when we were kids, maybe not everybody could play hockey because it just was an expensive sport. It wasn't easy. It wasn't always accessible. Not every community had it. You're hard-pressed now to find a community that doesn't have some kind of hockey organization or something for the youth at a young age somewhere around it. You're seeing the sport grow in so many ways. It's such a cool thing to see. I don't know that I ever saw that coming as a kid. I don't know that I ever thought that hockey... I always thought that hockey deserved to be big. I couldn't understand why people didn't like it. But I don't know that I saw that it going that route. And hockey and baseball have done an incredible job of this, of getting down to the youth level, going to rural communities, building an ice rink, getting here's a bunch of equipment. Same thing with baseball and fields. It's the smartest investment you can make. It really is.
I think
one of them.
What's happened now is that because we've done such a good job here over the last, let's just say, 25 years, well, now you have so many excellent players with nowhere to go, so now they're going to Europe.
Yeah.
And now they're playing in these pro leagues, and that's building up that country's base, right? Mm. So now, I mean, I'm getting emails from kids from countries that, like Scotland.
That's crazy. Right?
Yeah. Ireland.
Yeah.
And Japan. And all of a sudden, now you're looking at this, and these... Right?
That's
it
crazy.
Just took one guy that went over there 20 years ago, and he just keeps building this and that. And now all of a sudden, guys are sprouting out. And it's making that more, we're having more quality players. But the problem is that our league, I feel, is growing so much that it's watering down. That I think the caliber would go up if we kind of just put the brakes on already, and just let guys figure it out instead of taking everybody and anybody.
And much like, so this is really similar to an argument I have about baseball, and that you shouldn't have guys batting .220 starting in baseball. That doesn't make any sense mm-hmm. to me. It doesn't. Never in my lifetime would that have ever happened. But you got so many teams now. You got to fill the rosters. You got so many of this, so you got to do it. I think the greatest way to make baseball a better sport is to get rid of two teams. But it'll never happen. That's
I nominate the two from Chicago.
Yeah, I figured that was coming. I kind of walked into that. But when it comes to the USPHL, it's a similar story that's happening. And it wasn't that way from the beginning and the start of it. But I see the concern. It's something that I know I've been worried about. Along with that, when you have too many cooks in the kitchen and some things like that, you also have a lot of the teams that are doing the right thing, the teams that are handling their business and all that, suffer the most because there's this guy that doesn't know what he's doing, or this guy that doesn't even they have this open position, so they can't even make a decision over there at this team, and all of these things going on, and then you want to add even more teams to that, and which just leads to more confusion. I understand that money is the answer to all your questions, no matter how much I bark or anything like that. It's always going to come down to that. I get it. I'm an adult, but at a certain point. You would think that the it's about the product. You can't make money without the product. Mm-hmm. If you're watering down the product, that doesn't seem to be a good business model.
You're exactly right. The problem is the guy running the league has his own products.
Right.
Right. And That's a conversation for another.
Right. Well, when it comes to for our team, though, it
makes recruiting very difficult.
Right.
It's extremely, because now you're getting average players who think because they got 10 different offers, because teams just need to fill their roster,
mm-hmm.
right? And listen, there's teams in our division right now. I don't even know if they have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit last time.
It's July, right? And we're still in the same boat. So now you're like, well, now are they even going to have a team?
Right.
I mean, like Hudson struggled last year. Mm. I think they're a little more. They're going to be more set up this year. But the Dells is in total transition right now. So. You know, half the teams in our league got new ownerships. They got new coaches. They got new.
It's chaos. Wild.
It's chaos.
You know, with the USPHL, I know they got the different divisions: the elite, the premier, the NCDC, whatever. That I never really picked up on that one yet. I haven't explored it much, but they're talking. I keep seeing teams added to that, and I mean.
Joke.
Okay. All right. Because I was just kind of curious what your thought was.
It's supposed to be the tier two. It's supposed to be the higher level, right? So my job is to get guys. So you see guys from last year, like Garcia, Balduke, Obstfelder, Allstrand. Yep. All these guys have been tendered to go to these higher level teams, right? Mm-hmm. That's my job. Push them up.
Yeah.
Right? But the problem is, during the season last year, we had a guy, Hunter Raffert, went to Wilkes-Barre. For a week, played in three games there, came back, hated it. Mm. Said, Coach, we're better than these guys. The problem is, half of the goody premier teams are better than most of the NCAA.
That's crazy.
And then I guess my next question on that would that be, because of that, you take your top teams from the premier, like Rapids is, some of the other ones, like Fort Wayne, for example, just throwing names out there. What's stopping them from moving them up?
A lot. Money.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Right.
So now you get the NCDC, which is supposed to be free pay.
Yep.
And now this commissioner brings in half of those new teams last year. They're paying. They're charging kids to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got a mixture of this, which you can't do.
No.
So, but he's doing it, right? So now we've already had this conversation with the commissioner. It's like, well, why aren't we NCDC?
Mm-hmm.
We're just as good, if not better, than 90% of those teams.
Yeah.
Don't make enough money.
Right? Kyle Cupolo, when we pushed him up to the Mercer Chiefs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where Obstfelder's tendered in and Allstrand, right? So they're going to the main camp, and Obstfelder... I got to a North American League training camp. I'm on their scouting staff now in Corpus Christi.
Right
on. So, you try to move these guys along.
Yeah, yeah.
But half the time we're better than them.
Yeah, that's
that makes it hard.
Makes it
now it's like guys don't want to pay. Well, why would I come here and pay when I can go play there for free?
Yeah.
Right. Free. It's not really free.
Right.
You're paying $1,000 a month in building.
Yeah.
I mean, really? There's a lot of shame.
It muddies down what should be about advancing these players, growing this sport, winning games, all that. Yeah. I can't. The GM part of the job, it just has to be the most frustrating part, I imagine.
It's brutal. At the end of the year, you look, I mean, we were ranked 7th out of 72 teams.
Outstanding.
Not bad. You know how hard it is to get players?
Yeah.
The conversations that I have to have with kids that would be our second, third line guys, right? And they all think that they should play for free.
Yeah.
Because they got 20 other offers from every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah.
And so that's what you're constantly up against. And now you got all these Canadian teams coming in.
Yep. Huh?
Which obviously we've had some luck with.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, now all of a sudden they're plopping teams right in that area. And I'm like,
that's got to make it even more tougher.
I'm waiting for them to reshuffle the divisions again because they're bringing in so many teams.
There's something on the horizon.
Oh boy, I didn't mean to hit on that. But
let's just say it'll be good.
Okay,
right on. It's gonna ruffle some feathers.
We will be getting into that in the fourth period, I think. We'll get into that show down the line. I'm looking forward to that. And I appreciate the transparency, the conversation, as always, with you, Coach. I think I do have a bit of an idea. My oldest, a couple of months back, had her first child. I am a proud papa now, first-time papa. I'm very excited about it. As you notice, I will shoehorn this into conversations. That's how proud I am of it. So we start just growing our own kids. We just start having our own camps and everything. You got a new granddaughter around. Congratulations. Mazel tov. Salut to you and yours. We just start having our the kids just get in there. That's what we'll do. We'll just start to bring in our own kids.
Yeah. Wild turkey on my farm has a bunch of pullets now. I mean, there you have. There you go.
Give him a helmet. We'll see what we can do. Coach, always good talking to you. Appreciate the time with you and everything. And we'll be keeping an eye on things. You guys keep an eye on things as well. RiverKingsHockey.com. Be sure to go on over there. Bookmark that page. Keep up to date on all the interesting things that are going on over there, and be sure to follow them on social media. Everybody, they do a great job of keeping up to date on different things that are going on and fun things that are happening throughout the season. There's no off season anymore with any sport.
We're going to start releasing some signings and stuff like that.
Awesome.
We're going to start getting that going. We're close. I mean, I like what we got right now, but we're still a couple pieces away. But we look good.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, can't wait. It'll be exciting. Looking forward to it. We'll be talking about it in the next conversation, Coach. Thanks again for joining us.
You got it. Thank you.